All right, so you know how some things just like fit perfectly, like your phone case, or how about Legos? Those tiny pieces snapping together just right. That's injection molding for you. Manufacturing where those are tiny details, they really matter. And you know, judging by the stack of articles and notes you sent over, you're pretty curious about how they nail it every single time.
Well, it's way more complex than people think.
Oh yeah.
It's not just the machines, it's like this whole web of design, material science, and then that super meticulous assembly.
One of the articles mentioned a story about a phone launch
Oh,
that
wow.
almost went belly up because of a teeny tiny design flaw. Something about plastic shrinkage rates. I never even knew that was a thing.
It's a big deal.
Really?
You'd think, like, cooling plastic, that's simple, right?
Right, yeah.
But it's that shrinkage that almost sank that phone launch. Turns out, even like a fraction of a millimeter can make a button totally useless. Different plastics, they shrink at different rates when they cool.
Ah, okay.
Polycarbonate, it shrinks a little bit, but something like polypropylene, that stuff can shrink a whole lot enough to mess up those perfect fits.
So it's kind of like baking a cake.
Yeah.
You got to know how much it'll rise, you know, so it doesn't spill over. But here it's shrinking, not rising.
Right.
So designers, they got to be like, what, shrinkage psychics predicting how that plastic's going to act?
Exactly. If they mess that up, the whole project's like down the drain.
Yeah.
And choosing the plastic, that's just the first step. They got to really nail what's called dimensional accuracy.
Okay.
That's how close the final part matches what they designed.
The source, it mentioned something about IT levels, like grades for tolerances. What's that all about? Is that how they measure that that dimensional accuracy thing?
Think of it this way. Gears in a watch. They need that A plus precision, what they call IT5 to IT7. One tiny slip up and the whole watch is off. But your phone case,
Yeah.
it can get away with like a B, something like IT8 to IT10. Because those tolerances aren't, you know, life or death.
Okay, so we got the design locked. We picked the right plastic based on its shrink rate or whatever. But how do they actually make those crazy shapes? The source talks about these wild CNC and EDM machines. They sound like something straight out of Star Wars.
They're pretty amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine like a master artist, but sculpting with sparks instead of a chisel. That's an EDM machine.
Uses
Electrical
electrodes.
discharges to like erode the material. Perfect for those hard to cut metals.
And what about the CNC machines? Are those the laser ones?
Not lasers, but close. They use computer controlled cutting tools. Think of it like a super precise robot sculptor. Way faster than EDM for complex shapes. But EDM, that's your winner when you need those super fine details.
Okay, so we've got our design down to the millimeter, but how do we actually carve those intricate shapes? That's where those sci-fi machines come in.
Welcome back. Before we went down that rabbit hole of like crazy machines, we were talking about those tiny parts. Even with a perfect design and the right materials, you got to get them assembled just so. It's like all about controlling those microscopic gaps.
You know how Legos have that satisfying click when they connect?
Yeah.
It's not magic. It's all about, you know, controlling those gaps during assembly. Our sources mentioned these things called reference plates and positioning pins. They sound kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, keeping everything where it should be.
Think of it like building with Legos, right?
Yeah.
You need that base plate so
Yeah.
everything lines up. That's what a reference plate does for these tiny parts. It's this super precisely machined plate, like the foundation for the whole assembly process. Each part gets mounted onto the plate in a specific order, making sure like everything's perfect.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. And the positioning pins, those are like those little connector pieces in Legos,
Right.
right? Keeping the parts from like shifting around. But couldn't they also mess things up if they're not like spot on?
That's a good point. The pins themselves got to be insanely precise. They fit into these corresponding holes in the parts, locking
Yeah.
everything in place. If those pins are even a little bit off, the whole assembly's thrown off.
So it's like a chain reaction of precision. Each step has to be, you know, has to be perfect for the next one to work. But even with all that, things can still go sideways, right?
Oh, yeah.
The source talked about this quality control gauntlet,
Yeah.
where they do trial mold runs and calibrate the parts. What is that exactly?
Think of it like a new car.
Okay.
Before it leaves the factory, it goes through tons of tests,
Right.
make sure everything works.
Yeah.
Trial mold runs are kind of like that.
Yeah.
But for these injection molded parts, they make a small batch and then they put them through like all these tests to make sure they actually meet the specs.
So if they find a problem during that run, they got to start over.
Yeah.
That sounds pricey.
Sometimes it's an easy fix, like maybe just a little tweak to how they're putting it together. But other times, it might mean they have to change the mold itself. And yeah, that can get expensive. That's where those engineers, they really have to know their stuff, like detectives figuring out what's wrong and how to fix it.
The source also mentioned something about the tools for finishing the molds. What's the big deal with that?
It's like, well, imagine a sculptor.
Yeah.
They got to pick the right chisel. Carbide tools, those are like the Michelangelo of mold making, creating those perfect details on the mold surface. The wrong tool, you end up with imperfections that that show up in the final part.
Man, this is blowing my mind. It's crazy how much goes into making even the simplest stuff. But we're not done yet, right? There's still that that shrinking thing.
You got it. We've got these perfectly made parts, but now they got to go through, I guess you could call it the shrinkage gauntlet. How do they actually make sure they still fit? That's what we'll get into next.
All right. So the final boss, the shrinkage gauntlet. You mentioned how different plastics shrink at different rates and how even a tiny difference can like totally throw everything off. So how do they actually deal with that? Seems like a recipe for disaster, you know?
It definitely keeps things interesting.
Yeah.
Remember how we were talking about polycarbonate shrinks a little and polypropylene? That stuff can really shrink.
Yeah, yeah.
That difference can really mess things up when you're putting it all together.
Right, like those phone case buttons. Too loose or jammed in, all because the plastic, it shrunk the wrong way. So how do they make sure everything still, you know, fits together after it shrinks?
Well, one thing they do is try to use materials with similar shrinkage rates.
Mm-hmm.
For parts that got to fit together really tight.
Yeah.
Like they'll use two types of polycarbonate with almost the same shrinkage.
Yeah.
Instead of mixing it up with something like, you know, polypropylene.
Yeah. Makes sense. If it all shrinks the same, it should still like line up. But what if they can't do that? What if they need a certain material because of its, you know, properties, even if it shrinks differently?
That's when they break out the big guns. They use something called mold flow analysis.
Mold flow, okay.
It's basically like a computer simulation of how the plastic's going to shrink as it cools. Helps them predict those tricky spots and tweak the mold design to match.
So they're like building in the shrinkage compensation right into the mold. That's pretty clever.
It is. Like baking a cake that rises all weird. You got to adjust the pan, right?
Right, right.
And with the software they got nowadays, they can simulate it down to the tiniest little detail.
But even with all that fancy tech, things can still, you know, go wrong. What happens if they find a shrinkage problem when they're putting it all together?
That's where those engineers we were talking about, they really got to earn their keep. They're the ones who can spot those problems during the trial runs.
Yeah.
And then figure out how to fix it. Whether it's a tiny tweak to the assembly or even changing the mold itself.
This whole thing has been pretty eye-opening. I never really thought about how much, you know, science and tech goes into making all this stuff we use every day.
It's really amazing when you stop and think about it.
So next time I'm, like, looking at my phone or building a Lego spaceship or whatever, I'll be thinking about all that shrinking plastic and those precision machines working mm-hmm. together in perfect harmony.
And that's what makes these deep dives so fun. Uncovering that hidden world of precision and ingenuity that makes it all happen. What surprised you the most today? What questions are you still like chewing on? Keep exploring, keep learning, and never lose that curiosity.